Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're visiting with Dr. Bruce Bechtel, one of the country's preeminent authorities on the Hermit Kingdom, the very insulated and isolated regime of Kim Jong-un. Bruce is an associate professor of political science at Angelo State University, served with great distinction in the United States Marine Corps, including in various capacities involving intelligence. Indeed, he served as the desk officer for Korea and indeed ultimately Northeast Asia for the Defense Intelligence Agency. He is the author of numerous books and countless articles on the subject of North Korea and Asia. We're always delighted to have him with us. I should mention one in particular, North Korea and Regional Security in the Kim Jong-un era. We are delighted to have him with us. Dr. Bechtel, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. It's always great to be on the air with you.
Thank you. Listen, you've been writing of late, and I know that this is something that can become a full employment program to try to keep us in the West abreast of what the North Koreans are up to. It seems as though with each passing day, there's some new, menace, I think it's fair to say. Give us a flavor of how that's manifesting itself, as you see it, in terms of missile capabilities, nuclear capabilities, satellite capabilities, and the like.
Well, that's a big swath, because the North Koreans have been doing a whole lot in testing these capabilities over the past few months, really since the beginning of the new year. For example, they tested a nuclear weapon once again, that probably had some new capabilities in it, and of course was a test of what many feel was a miniaturized weapon, one that could go on a missile. And that's the fourth time they've done that, and this one was successful again, about 6 kilotons. The missile stuff is very, very interesting because, as you know, in February, they test launched a 3-stage ballistic missile under the cover of a satellite launch. And that was a missile that actually had an 80-kiloton rocket booster on it that they co-developed with the Iranians, that the Treasury Department has already sanctioned for developing with them. So we know that this missile that they launched that has a range to hit the West Coast is undoubtedly going to be proliferated to the Iranians, since the Iranians are helping to pay for it. And the Treasury Department has already come out and said that. So the West Coast is now vulnerable from North Korea. The East Coast will soon be vulnerable from Iran. And then the final interesting thing that we saw was several tests of their KN-08, which is the most threatening type of ICBM they have, because it comes on a mobile launcher and it would be hard for our early warning systems to take it out before they launched it, which they could do with the table dog. There have been many academics and pundits who were saying, well, it doesn't have a reentry vehicle that could get through the Earth's atmosphere, so we don't know if it'll really work or not. Well, the North Koreans very publicly tested a reentry vehicle a few weeks ago to show us that they did have one that would work.
If you would, Dr. Bruce Bechtel, talk a bit about what seems to be going on inside the senior ranks of the North Korean government that could be feeding those intensifying threats to us.
Well, that's a good question, because a lot of people aren't making that connection. And I think that is very important, because a lot of what we're seeing now, I think, is directly tied to the instability within the Kim Jong-un regime. In other words, he's been there since his father died in late 2011, but he's never fully consolidated his power in the three key power institutions in the country, the security services, the party, and the military, but especially in the military. Because unlike his father, Kim Jong-un did not go to their military equivalent of West Point, which is Bunyongdae. He didn't build those relationships with the North Korean officers like his father did or his grandfather did. So he doesn't have that credibility. Well, how do you get credibility with military officers if you don't even know them? I mean, he grew up in Switzerland, and the way he has apparently decided to do that is by having all of these new developmental systems, that go way beyond the scope of what his father was doing, and stepping up the progress of his ballistic missile and nuclear programs. Because when you do that, and we have defectors that have actually told us this, you then build credibility with the military officers, who the majority of, according to what defectors tell us, are very, very pro-development of all these systems that they truly believe threaten the West and keep them from being bombarded by Western forces.
I did want to just drill down on that. I thought what you were going to say is that Kim Jong-un seems to be trying to exercise influence with the military leadership and caste in his country, if you will, by purging them, eliminating substantial numbers, at least at the leadership level. Has that, in fact, been the case? And to what extent does that play into this effort to keep them on the leash?
Yes, that has, in fact, been the case. 70 officials, senior officials, just last year, the majority of those probably in the military. He has had now, and this is not an exaggeration, these are the hard numbers, he has had three times as many military chiefs of staff as Kim Il-sung had. Think about that. From 1948 to 1994, Kim Il-sung had less military chiefs of staff than he did. That has been an issue. And that's tied hand in hand with developing these systems, because he's trying to show them that he is taking care of them, while at the same time being forced, really, to purge these guys who he is paranoid about supporting him. You know, there's been guys that have been purged literally, and you know about this, last year, for sleeping during a speech he was given. That guy was executed. So we see extreme paranoia, you know, about his capabilities to control the military. Well, at the same time, he's loading all this stuff on the military to make them understand that he fully supports a strong military for the DPRK.
Let me ask you about the defection of the senior-most officer from the military. I guess since the days of the Korean War, he's a colonel, but he apparently was well-placed in the intelligence services of his government. And presumably, now that he's in South Korea, is going to be a font of insight. I know you're working on a new book on the subject. This may be something that will require many, many updates by you, Dr. Bruce Bechtol. But talk about what's going on with the defections of, you know, people en masse from Chinese restaurants, or North Korean restaurants in China, I should say, and particularly this colonel.
Well, you know, the thing that I think is most interesting about the defections over the past 18 months or so is that we've really started to see a lot more defections from senior level people. As you know, most of the defections that have occurred over the years have essentially been people that were starving, had economic issues, and largely from Hamgyong-bukdo, which is a northeastern province next to the Chinese border in North Korea. That has changed. We are now seeing a lot of defections of higher-level people, such as diplomats in Africa and Asia, military officers, and this guy, who actually was in charge of, according to the press reports, infiltrations into South Korea and operations in the South Korea. Let me give you an example of something that happened several years ago. They had a husband and wife team that was caught infiltrating into North Korea on a semi-submersible ship way down by Busan.
Into South Korea, I think you mean, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Into South Korea, down by Busan. And when they were interrogated, they gave them the names of all kinds of people that were their contacts, their sleeper cells, if you will, within South Korea. And there was people like, you know, broadcasters for the news service, professors at high-level universities. And so this guy is at a much higher level than those two. He's going to be able to give them all kinds of information about those dirty tricks operations, for lack of a better term, that are ongoing in South Korea. So he'll be a gold mine for them. But I think for us, it indicates we are now seeing people at a high level saying, this just is not working. I got to get out of here.
We'll be watching it closely, as I know will you, Dr. Bruce Bechtol. We look forward to further visits with you in the future. Dr. Bechtol, thanks so much for your time today. Next up, Peter Pry joins us. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.